Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Share My World. I am your host, Lakeisha Riddick. I'm so grateful and thankful that you took time out to share another episode with me. I'm thankful for my new listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. I do the show bi-weekly, on Tuesdays at 11 p.m., and I'm grateful that God has allowed me to be consistent in doing that. Go back to my first show this year, The Show Must Go On, and you'll see why this is important for me as far as progress is concerned. I know if you're a new listener, you're wondering, why am I on the internet? Why am I sharing my story? Why am I being transparent about my struggles and things that I'm dealing with and that God has helped me overcome? Well, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for my sins so that I can have eternal salvation with God. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb that was shed from him dying and the word of our testimony. That means us telling our story about what he's done for us. So this is a way for me to do that with the show and me be obedient to his calling for me to do that because God has told me to do it, so I'm being obedient. The show also allows me to encourage myself and others because they say confession is good for the soul. Well, me sharing my story is good for my soul. You know, when I'm talking and, you know, doing research, you know, trying to find biblical examples, and then, you know, God is just encouraging me through the show. Another reason is it creates a permanent reminder of what God has done for me. I can go back to previous episodes that are archived at blogtalkradio.com for Share My World Show and be able to say, you know, look what you did for me back then. You know, like that Ty Trippett song, if you did it before, you can do it again. Well, I have my physical reminders of that. And then finally, the Great Commission. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're not supposed to be an island. We're supposed to go out and win souls and make disciples, not in our own strength, but through what God has done. He shines through us. It's supposed to draw men to him. So by me doing the show, my desire is that people, their lives will be changed. They'll be inspired that they're not the only ones going through different things, and that if God did it for Lakeisha, he could surely do it for me. So let's pray before we start the show today, tonight. Father, I thank you for giving me the topic, and I thank you, Father, for speaking through me to be able to minister to the people that are listening. I know, Father, that I don't know exactly who's listening, but, Father, I know that you have connected the right people at the right time for such a time as this. Father, we know that there's no such thing as coincidences, and we know that everything is divinely ordered by you, listening live or on the archived episode, that they'll receive something, a gem to be able to take away and be able to put in practice for their lives, to change it for the good. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight's topic is looking like a boss but feeling like a fraud, public perception versus private reality. And, you know, when I came up with this topic, you know, I really was thinking like that. I mean, remember again, these topics are about my story and things that I've been struggling with as well. So, you know, I thought about it, and I said, you know, to the public, it looks like, you know, you've got it going on, right? Public perception is that you've got a promising career, you're always in good spirits, you have a picture-perfect family, you have meaningful relationships, you are the perfect image of self, you know, fill in the blank, right? Private reality is that behind closed doors, you're suffering, you're miserable. You are doing everything within your power to maintain this public perception of your lifestyle and your character, but it's not authentic. And the struggle is real. You feel like a fraud. The pressure becomes too much to bear, and something has got to give. So how do you begin to live in your truth with no apologies, right? And, you know, I'm thinking about some types of examples with those things, right? So public perception is, you know, a promising career. Well, that's the public perception. That, oh, look at this person. They're so ambitious. They have it going on. They've moved up the ranks. But then behind closed doors, they are struggling. They feel unqualified. They don't feel that they're good enough. that may not be, you know, ethical to try to maintain the career, you know. Think about those kind of things. Again, this is you living a double life, if you really want to think about it. You're living a lie, and you're really living in hypocrisy. That's like a definition of hypocrisy, right? Okay, how about public perception is that you're always in good spirits? Well, behind closed doors, a private reality is you're depressed. You're suicidal. You're alone. You know, just the dark side. How about meaningful relationships? You're a socialite. You have all these friends. You know, there's nobody that, you know, you don't know. Everybody knows you. But then behind closed doors, you're afraid to be alone. Or you are so cold that you're willing to do anything to maintain that relationship, even if it's unhealthy, you know, to you, even if it's abusive, you know, God forbid. But that is something that happens when, you know, you're trying so hard to maintain these meaningful relationships, but behind closed doors, you're doing whatever it takes to do it. So is it really worth it? How about picture-perfect family? Okay, that's the public picture. Oh, look at everybody. This is so perfect. You know, you take such perfect family pictures and everything. But how about you're afraid to be divorced because you don't speak to your spouse? You're arguing all the time. You may even be sleeping in separate beds. Not I Love Lucy style because of those days, but really, like, you can't stand each other. Or how about your kids are lost, meaning that they are so far gone with not being, you know, they're doing whatever unruly things, you know, are out there. And, you know, but to the world and to the public, you're great. You know, you have that Colgate smile. How about perfect image of health? Now, this one is something that's interesting because, you know, you would think, well, hello, the person looks good, they're healthy, whatever, but you don't know what they're doing to maintain it. What if they're bulimic, anemic? I know you would think, like, well, if you're anemic, you would look really, really, really skinny. Well, in some cases, but some cases, you may think this person naturally thin. How about, you know, you're addicted to exercise? Yeah, there's such a thing as exercising too much. You know, you're starving yourself, you know, because you just want to have this perfect image of health. How about finances? Public perception is you have abundant finances. You got the fancy cars, the homes, the clothes, you know, all that stuff, the jewelry. But then behind closed doors, you're broke. I mean, you have, like, a net worth of negative, fill in the blank, you know, you don't manage your finances well. And I know you might be thinking, well, you know, that's a lot of people, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Well, there is something wrong with that. But something that is wrong with it is that you are living a lie. And when you're living a lie, it's going to catch up because you're going to have to keep lying and trying to cover up and do things to, you know, maintain this perception. And who wants to live like that? Keep wearing the mask. You're going to keep rotating the hat because you're trying to even convince yourself that nothing's wrong. And you're trying to convince everybody else that everything is okay as well. You know, you're going to get tired of running that game. You know, well, I know because I've done that. Okay, you're going to get tired of running that game because, you know what, the lines are going to be so blurred that you may even forget what is reality and what was perception. I know you must be wondering, like, well, how could you do that? There's a lot of people out there that are struggling with this. And, you know, when I thought about my own struggles, I said, you know, and does God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants our, what, yes to be, you know, yes. You know, he doesn't want us to be lukewarm. You know, he wants us to be open and transparent with him because we are the light that's on the earth to be able to draw people to him. So how can we do that when we have one face and we're like, oh, yeah, everything's great. But then behind closed doors is not trying to live like that. You know, you're hiding your private pain, but you're keeping your public fame. You know, think about that. Hiding your private pain, but keeping your public fame. And then for what? So people can be happy for you, but, you know, really you're miserable and you're suffering on the inside. And here's the downside of doing all that. Forget just not pleasing the God. But when I said that, you know, it's too much pressure to live like that and, you know, it's just not healthy in general, spiritually and emotionally to do that. But what happens is that this is where, you know, you see people become so hopeless because they never think that they can have the reality that they want. So they basically manufacture it, right, with this public perception of this mess. And so then when it runs out, then you have the depression and then the suicidal, you know, thoughts, and then, you know, eventually suicide because you're just hopeless, which is, you know, tragic. So let me just share some of my struggles that I've dealt with or am dealing with. And so you can kind of see that context from, you know, my story. So many of you know I'm a stay-at-home mom, and, you know, being a stay-at-home mom is a thankless job in America. You know, there's so many different perceptions of what a stay-at-home mom does. I mean, I think I even had it, you know, before, even though my mother was a stay-at-home mom. My mom, she volunteered, though, every moment she could get at my preschool and elementary school and that kind of thing. But, you know, the perception is, oh, you do nothing at home. You just sit and watch TV and that kind of thing. So when we added on me homeschooling, you know, I took it to a whole nother level. But again, the perception for me was that, oh, you know, I have to take this picture that I love with everything that I'm doing, and this is just wonderful, and, you know, my children are just great and perfect, and everything's wonderful. And then, okay, I'm going to even go a little further. You know, I graduated from college with a bachelor of science degree in computer science and math, and then I actually worked for a while as a consultant. And I did, you know, I was on track for project management, and I actually was well-rounded. Not only could I do management, I did development in terms of writing software, and also did quality assurance. And then I also could have done business, you know, analyst type work, right, requirements and that kind of thing. So becoming a stay-at-home mom, I had to understand, you know, what my identity was, what the perception was. I remember, you know, being at home early on, I used to always preface it, you know, I was a consultant, or I did this, or I did that, you know, in terms of degree and that kind of thing, because I wanted people not to think, oh, I was lazy, I had no degree, that I was just at home doing nothing. And it took me a while, I mean, a long time actually, until I was able to embrace my role as a mother, and that was enough, so that there was no gap between that perception of what I was trying to create for other people to see that, oh, yeah, I'm this, I'm that, and everything's wonderful, and then, you know, my prior reality of, man, I'm not really feeling this, or, you know what, there's some days that I'm screaming, I want to get out of here. So I have a husband who is very in tune with his wife, so that we have worked, and we are still working on it, where I get my me time, and, you know, when he gets home from work, you know, he helps and takes over with the kids and that kind of thing or whatever. So it's not feeling like a burden, you know, to me or whatever. But then again, I don't have to live in this hypocrisy of, oh, my life is like this and everything's great when it's not. And there's a lot of times when it's not. But you know what? It's okay because I'm human, right? Okay, another thing is me always being in good spirits. I'm a generally optimistic person, you know. I'm always really, for the most part, in good spirits, right? But that became this double life kind of thing because when I was suffering with my depression, you know, my suicidal thoughts, you know, I didn't really want to talk to people about it because they look at you like, well, you're fine. What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with you, you know? And it's like, and then so everybody will come to me for advice. I never forget my mom to say, well, why don't they go to so many meals for help and things like that? I'm like, because I'm a good listener. I don't know. But the problem is what happens when you want to talk to somebody, when you want to vent, when you want to say, you know what, I'm not okay. I need some help. So I had to learn that it's okay to need help. It's not a sign of weakness. It's really a sign of strength to be able to ask for it. And, you know, not only lean on my husband, but, you know, my friends as well, trusted friends, to be able to, you know, open up and listen to them. And that goes on without saying having wise people within your circle that you can trust and share things with. Another thing, people pleaser. You know, yes, people pleaser versus a God pleaser. I had to learn that, you know, I would do things for other people versus doing stuff for myself. My husband would get, you know, a little upset at me about that because he would see the pattern that, you know, as soon as I would get, you know, a request or to do something for somebody else, I would get on it. I would do it with excellence, finesse, you know, and everything. But when it came to doing something for me personally, I wouldn't do it. I didn't have the same desire. And that's a problem because when you get caught up in that mode of pleasing other people, you know, that's not of God either. You know, your first thought and your first desire is to please God. And then in pleasing God, you're pleasing yourself because, you know, the joy of the Lord is what? My strength. So, and then because I was doing it and then looking for affirmation and the praise from other people. And, you know, excuse me, that's fleeting. You know, you can't do it. You have to learn how to do things for yourself and to motivate yourself, which is, I'm doing some things right now, you know, to do that, and you will be, you know, one of the first people, my listening audience, to kind of see the results of that. And, you know, I'm grateful that God has helped me along the journey to doing that. And the final thing about my, you know, my public perception versus private reality is my weight. You know, I went through, you know, I lost a lot of weight back in, you know, maybe 8 years ago when I was 35 and, you know, I was very happy and proud of it or whatever. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to admit, but there is a perception of people who are overweight, you know, and it's not a good one, but you try to cover it up for doing everything else, right? You know, you want to, you know, overachieve in different areas and try to, you know, to dim that light. And, at least for me, the fact that I lack discipline with eating and exercise. Now, that's not everybody's story. This is my story, right? So I had to learn it, and I'm still learning now. I'm learning what my triggers are. I'm learning that I can't, you know, go all out and overachieve and do these things and not fix the deeper issues at home, which is my self-control. I call it the fruit is from God. You know, it's not just going to come just from my own willpower. Yes, my actions, but God is the one that gives you the fruit of the Spirit. It's not you just giving it to yourself, right? So your character is who you are when no one is looking, right? And, you know, there should be no gap. There should be no gap between who you are and what and who you are behind closed doors and who you are in public. There should be no gap. So if you haven't already listened to my previous show, Naked Unashamed, Living in God's Truth, it aired on April 7th. Listen to that as well. This is a tie-in to it. I realized it after, you know, I came up with the topic, but that's another show to kind of help you in terms of things that, you know, we were doing that was on purpose to hide, to be secretive. So in this case, to be able to, you know, live in God's truth and not, you know, keep this double life going, what do we do? How do we solve this problem? We have to pray for wisdom regarding, you know, Lord, help us identify what these areas are. Now, some people you might already know. Like for me, you know, I knew what the areas were. And for the most part, you may know, but you want God to confirm those things for you because you know why? You want to be able to dig deeper. You know, you want to dig deeper in terms of what are the root issues that are causing you to behave that way. It's not a normal thing for people to try to live a double life. That's not, we weren't created that way. We weren't created to do that. So if you're doing it, you're doing it for a reason, and you need God to help you to identify what's going on, right? Now you need to go and find the scriptures that are the opposite of those issue areas so that you can declare and affirm, yes, you know, I am the righteousness of Christ. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, I have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, whatever you need to do to personalize scriptures to declare them over yourself, do it. It is a daily thing. It's a lifestyle thing. It's not like a one-time thing. And you have to take action. Your action is going to be, as God is revealing these different areas to you, you must change. You are only in control of yourself. You must do things. So, say, for example, if, you know, your issue is you're flossing, that's how you're looking like a boss, right? You're flossing, you got the fancy cars, you got this, but then you're broke. Okay, well, how about stop, pause, pause, and then let's get some financial planning. Let's, you know, figure out, you know what, can I really afford these things? I'm not saying, you know, live like a pauper, but I'm saying, okay, let's really identify what's going on. And, you know, truth be told, let's look at the people who do have money and are living in abundant finances, i.e. Warren Buffett. Is he driving Bentleys and all that kind of stuff? Not to say that if you, you know, want one, then you should have it, but you don't have to live like that in order to have that private life. So that's what I'm saying. Really figure out what matters and what's most important to you. Okay. And so when you see that gap starting to widen, then you'll be able to bring it back in, right? Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm going there. I'm not going to go there, right? And then so you don't embrace a lie, because that's the key. It is a lie. I mean, the bottom line is that if you're living a double life, if you're looking like a boss, but you're feeling like a boss, you're living a lie. And eventually, okay, you know it's a lie, but eventually it's going to come out, you know. And I promise you, when it comes out, it's never a positive experience. Okay, so, you know, I always give you biblical examples when I try to find stuff. And I found two interesting examples, and I want you to work with me. Okay, the priest Eli and his sons, that's in 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter and the 4th chapter. I want you to read it for yourself to kind of see what your revelation is. But in the Old Testament, the priests were, you know, very holy people, wise people. That was their public perception, okay? Holy, wise, righteous, they came from the priesthood family, set apart by God, right, to do the sacraments for the temple and Ark of the Covenant. Excellent parents, you know, probably perceived to be excellent husbands. I mean, you know, all these things is very excellent. Why, you know, I wouldn't say perfect, but, you know, really holy people. Well, the reality for Eli, he was this priest, but his sons were off the chain. I mean, when you read this, your mouth's going to be open. His sons were literally sleeping with women, okay, on the temple stairs, okay? Then when the people would come and bring sacrifices to God, right, that's what they used to do back then, they would take the fattest and choicest meat from the sacrifice for God and eat it instead of offering it to God. Now, that's just, you know, tragic right there, right? But here's the thing. Eli didn't do anything, okay, until he was older. Now, you would say to yourself, well, you know, the Bible is telling the story in terms of Eli being older, and then, you know, he learns about this. Well, okay, I'm wondering if he really just learns about this. Again, you know, use your imagination, and then you think about it. Like, what would his son's childhood like? Probably weren't listening then. They probably were doing some unruly stuff then. And, you know, it started out a little small, you know, still a little this, lie about a little this. So, again, he was keeping that private reality private. But the public reception was, hey, Eli is the priest. Everything's great. Well, you read the story, you see all the details. His sons were killed at war because, you know, God came and talked to Eli and said, you know, this is a disgrace. They're going to die. And because of him not really disciplining his sons, and taking care of that issue, what happened? They not only died, but then his priesthood, you know, family died out. And somebody else was raised up, Samuel, you know, to be the priest. And they said that Eli's family would be bowing down to the new priest. So it's like, you know, you live this lie, you live in hypocrisy, and when stuff is revealed, you know, it's out of control. You can't control now the train that's left the station. You know, so it really causes demise by living that lie like that. I mean, that's my interpretation. The next one is about the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Now, this is in the New Testament. So the Pharisees were the, you know, high priests during that time. They were the religious, you know, elite of the time. They, you know, were very ceremonious with everything. You know, everything was about appearance, about show, about their garb, about the different, you know, ceremonies that they did, you know, for everybody to see. And Jesus was off the chain with how he felt about them, because this is the thing about being a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not about all of that. It's not about the pomp and circumstance. It's about your personal relationship with them. And anything that comes in between that to cause interference or to cause you to, you know, be more, to idolize the circumstances, I mean, the pomp and all that kind of stuff, that's really, you know, not what God is about. So if you read this chapter, I mean, you see a lot of woes in the New American Standard. But here's the one that, you know, I thought about when we talked about public perception versus, you know, private reality. There's a whole lot of them. So read them, please. But you are like white. I'm sorry. 25th verse. For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also. Did you hear? God is saying, you can't put everything clean on the outside. Be like, you know, you wash up a, you know, like a pig and think, oh, it's not going to be a pig. No, it's still going to be a pig. And it's the same thing for us. You just can't put, you know, fancy clothes, put the smile and, oh, yeah, we're righteous, we're holy. No. And this is what they were doing. And God was like, please, Jesus was like, please stop it. Again, read all the woe to you, hypocrite. And it's really telling us how he even wants us to live now. Stop it. Don't do it. Don't put yourself in a position where you are so focused on the outward appearance, literally, okay, and then your actions and what people think of you, that you're forgetting your soul. God wants you clean on the inside because he knows what? As you clean on the inside, it focuses and makes you clean on the outside. And inside out, that's the kind of work he wants to do for us, right? So he doesn't want to, and then he knows that we're not perfect. That's the whole thing with Christianity. It's not about you coming to God perfected. What he wants us to be yielded to him, that we are willingly want to be perfected through Christ. That's the freedom. You're not perfect on your own. You're being perfected. So, Lord, thank you for tonight's show. Thank you for speaking through me to minister, again, to somebody that they're living their life, you know, with a gap between who they say they are and then the public and who they are really in private. And I thank you that tonight the gap has been closed in Jesus' name. And I thank you guys. Excuse me, allergies. Georgia is really bad for connecting on my Facebook page, Share My World Show. You can check out the podcast on iTunes. You can email me at sharemyworldshow@gmail.com for, you know, feedback, topics, you know, anything that you want to do, ask questions. And you can also go to Blog Talk Radio to get archived episodes. So keep believing, keep dreaming. Keep telling your story. Thank you for sharing my world. Now go and share your world with others. Have a blessed evening.